Chapter 7. Turned out they could pick up the metal detector system they needed, for about $2,000 and tax, but at least they'd have it. And besides, with that half-botched robbery hanging over their heads, they didn't need to push it with another when they had money to spare. An online search at a public library located a hobby shop that carried them, and wasn't really out of the way at all. The clerk was obviously a little surprised at the 20-plus hundreds he was handed by Gazelle.
"Somebody must have already found a treasure," he said with a chuckle. "I guess it's a good thing I'm selling you a treasure finder instead of a semi-automatic weapon, because I bet if you toss cash toward buying an expensive one of those, you get a lot more questions."
"Probably," Gazelle said, smiling pleasantly. "We're already stocked up on the guns, though. Hit the superstore this morning. Bought the family variety pack. Got to protect ourselves once we've got the treasure." She had a great stone face and sold it easily.
Oh, sure, the clerk said, obviously not expecting that kind of response. "Can't be too careful with pirate doubloons."
Gazelle saw a chance to really throw him off their actual intentions. Her eyes went wide.
"Who told you?" she said.
The clerk drew back, looking quite surprised.
No, nobody,
he said, raising his hands at his sides and showing her his open palms in surrender.
"Nothing, no. I just figured that since we're only a few miles from the coast and since you folks don't have the local accent, you're out here to seek your fortune in the waters that have seen the ends of many a pirate's life."
She kept staring at him, her lids narrowed. Sal had to work hard not to smile. Too hard, in fact, so he turned away and looked out the window.
"All right," Gazelle said.
"But I'm going to be on the lookout for studly guys with brown hair snooping around our dive spot." Damn, she was smooth. The whole, "who carries that much cash" issue was long gone. 5 minutes later, they were loading the boxed-up detector and accessories in the parking lot under a scrolling carpet of rain-promising clouds. The air smelled of salt.
"I don't think he was into you," Sal said. "He kept staring at my ass."
"Probably the toilet paper hanging out over the top of your jeans." She did it again, kept up the inscrutable silence until he had to verify that no, there was no dangling toilet paper.
"You're just all dark side sometimes, aren't you?"
Sal said.
"You'd rather have Bo Peep?"
"No, but only because I have no sense.
And that's why I love you."
They hit the road again, with Gazelle at the wheel and Sal opening the box, and the ones inside it, and making a mess across the back seat while trying to figure out how to get the detector and its accessories all set up and ready to go.
"We won't need it until we get to Kansas," Gazelle said.
But he kept working from the front seat, squirming around next to her, until she finally punched him sharply in the upper right arm.
"Sit down and quit fidgeting."
She ignored his hurt look and the rubbing he was giving to the impact spot. He'd straightened back around and sat down, and that was all she'd wanted. After about 5 minutes of him glancing out of the windows, not saying a word, she caved. At least a little.
"Sorry," she said,
and glanced over to see him all but awestruck, as though she'd spoken in tongues.
"Yeah, I know the word. Bite me. I'm just... I don't know. There's something bugging me."
Sal's answer came gradually.
"Spending close to $3,000 on a treasure finder?"
he said at length in an unhurried tone.
"Or the fact we don't even know what's going on with Winterson?"
"Who?"
She'd actually forgotten the museum guard's name.
"Oh shit, yeah," she said.
"Well, there's no way of knowing unless we have a police scanner. I doubt we're up on post office walls yet either way. And we were careful. I put the decoy plate on the car before we cased the museum. So... even if they have us on some lot monitor we didn't notice, they'll have the wrong license number. We parked out of sight for the job and wore gloves and kept our faces hidden. And while he could point us out on their daytime surveillance monitors, well, we're about to both change our looks and swap out cars. Pretty soon we'll be invisible again, whether we need to be or not." Sal didn't say anything more. They settled into a silence that lasted a good 20 minutes, with Sal closing his eyes and feigning an attempt at a nap. The quiet finally got to Gazelle.
"What the hell are gold melts anyway?"
she said.
Old West stuff,
Sal said without opening his eyes.
Bandits didn't have Sappridge to buy up the jewellery they looted. They'd chip out the gems and sell them separately. The gold and silver got melted down, mostly, into little plates whose weight probably varied a lot because of the open spaces left between the squeezed down links and bands and stuff.
Savages, Gazelle said.
All that craftsmanship wasted? Why would they do that?
So they could carry it in a pocket without bracelets and wedding bands falling out all over the place every time they reached in there.
Damn, Old West people were stupid.
No, they were practical, Sal said. You should get that. You know practical.
I also know handcrafted jewellery is worth a lot more in one piece than it is parted out and sold as scrap.
Not if you're in nowhere Kansas in the 19th century.
Gazelle couldn't let that sit too long. She didn't like ending up on the tutored side of such a discussion. She couldn't best what he'd said, so she changed topics.
I figure we'll do the car swap when we stop for the night, she said. We'll cut and colour our hair, get some new clothes. We'll take off early in somebody else's car.
What about this one? Sal said.
You get us into the other one, but I drive it. You take this one someplace nice and woodsy, where it won't be found for a long time, and be sure and grab the plates. I pick you up and we're off in our new ride. We put our plates on it and we're clean, at least long enough to hopefully get where we're going and get it done. Once we've got that gold, we head for Mexico or Canada. And then it's time to relax and pick out new identities as wealthy Canadian immigrant recluses.
Mexican? Cold sucks. And it won't be that simple.
Huh? That's not remotely simple, but it's a plan. If you've got a better one, I'd love to hear it.
For about 10 seconds, Sal held back. But it finally came out in a low voice.
I could call Rembrandt.
They were going 73 miles per hour on the interstate, so she couldn't hit the brakes as hard as she wanted. But she tapped them, jerking the car for effect as she turned to glare at him.
You're not calling that weasel, Gazelle said. You think he wouldn't exploit this if he knew the situation we're in?
If Winterson ratted us out, he probably already knows about it, Sal said. Word gets around in his circles. If we get in touch with him right away, well, he has no love for the Empire.
Gazelle was bringing them back up to speed. A tractor trailer shot past on their left, the rig's driver letting go a belligerent hoot with its air horn to let them know that the arbitrary braking was unappreciated. Gazelle lowered the window, stuck out a hand and flipped off the driver even as the big rig's rear end rolled past. The truck emitted a shorter second honk of acknowledgement.
Please don't get us into a fist fight with a semi-driver, Sal said.
Don't worry, I wouldn't need your help, Gazelle said.
No, you just screw him and steal his wallet.
No, I'd screw him and you'd steal his wallet. That ended the conversation for a while. Cold rain and gusting winds in western Ohio ended their trek for the day, as Sal, who hadn't spent a moment behind the wheel, scoped out the exit sign offerings one after the next. Gazelle lamented the weather.
It'll be just our luck that it'll be like this where we're going too, she said. Why couldn't Brethren and his gang have stashed their hoard in a cave like the smart outlaws?
A lot easier to find a cave than a box buried 6 feet in the middle of nowhere with no marker, Sal said.
Yeah, I suppose. But it had better not be like this when we find the spot.
Well, one day working in a thunderstorm for the rest of our lives in luxury, Sal said.
After a few seconds, Gazelle conceded.
Well, when you put it that way, she said.
The storm had effectively precluded sunset, leaving them driving towards an almost dark western vista. Gazelle said she'd had enough driving anyway, not being used to such a long trek. The phone rang. Because Sal had made such a mess of the back seat, he had to fumble around to find it, and almost immediately knocked the handset off its resting spot atop the base. Uncovering it at last and seeing that he'd done this, he grabbed it up quickly and put the phone to his ear and mouth.
Hello?
He only barely heard a faint voice and quickly figured out it had been upside down, so Sal flipped it and tried again.
Not you,
the gruff voice of Teak Brethren said.
I want to talk to the smart bitch.
Is it him? Gazelle said.
Holding onto the base, Sal gave her the handset.
Kind of busy driving in a monsoon here, she said into the mouthpiece, steering with the other hand.
Didn't realise you'd be calling back so soon.
You on the way there? Brethren said.
No, we're driving to Bermuda. Of course we're on the way. Didn't you hear me say I was driving? Now what do you want and be...
When you find the loot, Brethren said, cutting her off. You need to get it to a fellow named Cadence. He's in Texas.
Right. Cadence in Texas. Got it.
You're just going to run off with it, ain't you?
Nah, never occurred to us.
Look, you want to get it to Cadence. You can have some of it as a finder's fee. Yavelli tells me it's worth a couple of million by now, so take maybe 10% of it. That good enough?
Sal couldn't hear, Brethren, but Gazelle looked searchingly over at him anyway, as though expecting input. He shrugged. Right, she said with an audible sigh, turning her focus back to the blurry, waterlogged road. And the phone. A guy named Cadence in Texas. That should be easy. Only like 50 million people living there.
His last name is Cadence, Brethren said. First name, Siglio. That ought to narrow it down. Oh, and he's in some big downtown office in Houston. Think that'll get you there?
Walk into the lobby carrying a box full of gold. Buddy, this ain't the old days.
Yavelli says you gotta get hold of Cadence and arrange a meeting somewhere safe.
Be nice if you had a phone number, Gazelle said in a low mutter, but Brethren heard.
I'm sure he's got one, Brethren said. My boy here don't know them things, though. He's more about seeing the highlights than the details. They may have a slew of people there these days by his account, but I still reckon there ain't a lot of Siglio Cadences up in Houston lookout offices. If it turns out I'm wrong and there are, well, you're just going to have to sort them out.
Gazelle didn't reply. Traffic ahead of them was slowing, giving her a sea of blurry red lights that compelled her to drop to less than 40 in seconds.
You hearing me, sweetheart?
Brethren said. Yeah, right. Take 10%, the rest goes to Cadence in Houston, which means we drive another day down to the Gulf and then what? What if we're hot? What if that stupid guard has the cops tracking us down right now? Can your Italian pal fly us out of the country?
He ain't no buzzard, so no. But if you get that loot to Cadence, he'll take care of you good. You won't have to worry about the law.